Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kim D. Foster, to the Heal It Show today. You know, there's a lot of turmoil going on in the world today. There's people that are really sad. They've gone through challenges in their own lives or politically or in the environment or maybe in their with their children or their family. There's just a lot going on. And this show is for you. This show is a show to be able to heal some of those challenges that you might have in your life, to be able to see different points of view that resonate with you, to be able to upshift your thinking, upshift your life, and be able to take it to a place where you're actually feeling happiness, you're feeling joy, you're feeling a connection of oneness with God, with your fellow beings on this planet, and you're in a place where you just, there's joy. Right. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Today's the day to we're going to be talking about spiritual healing. We're going to talk about some of the principles to bring in the light into your auric field, into your body, into your mental, emotional, physical fields, that you start to feel better. You start to have more energy, more power, more passion in your life. You know, it's like some people are walking around out there and it's like the light is turned off, right? But, you know, turning the light back on is the down hard. You know, it's, you know, I'll just use a metaphor. You walk into your office and you click the light switch and boom, the light's back on. How did you do that? Well, it took willpower, right? It took intention. It took you to take some action. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. Right? But we're going to give you some techniques that hopefully will shift you in ways that you think that might really help you to tune into that light in a greater way. All right. Listen, I've got a very special guest. He's a friend of mine. We've known each other for decades. He's on the show today. And I think you'll be amazed at who it is. So stay tuned. I'm going to take a quick break. And then when I come back, we will have my guest. Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund. Everybody, this is your host, Ken D. Foster, and as I promised, I have a very special person on my show today. His name is Neil Mintz. Neil, so good to have you. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate being on your show. Looking forward.
So I mentioned that Neil and I, as friends, go back a few decades. He's a personal friend of mine. He's also a man that has been on a quest along with me, on a spiritual quest to really awaken his soul to greater levels and awaken mine. Now, currently, he's on the faculty of the Spiritual Arts Institute, which is a metaphysical school for the aura healing and spiritual growth. Neil teaches metaphysics and meditation at the Institute, where he's been immersed in ongoing study of metaphysics for the last 15 years. And he's been a divine light healer for more than 10 years. We'll find out what that is in a little bit. In pursuit of ending a lifelong battle with anxiety, he was eventually led to the power of divine light for healing. It was the use of divine light and the spiritual healing practices and principles that finally led to the relief that Neil had sought. In this results-oriented aspect of the metaphysical work, that fuels his deep commitment to his own spiritual development and passion to help others that are ready for their true transformation. These are the principles we're going to be talking about today. Also, I just want to put a disclosure, because you and I talked about this ahead of time, that Neil is the views that Neil expresses don't necessarily express the views of the Spiritual Art Institute. Neil is a student there, and he came on because he wants to bring his points of view, his stories to you, my audience. How's that, Neil?
Good.
Okay. Well, okay, we kind of got into that piece where, you know, you were at a place where you were a seeker for many years, trying to, you know, what drove you, I guess, to God is that you had this anxiety going on and you didn't figure out, you were looking for a way to like heal that. Is that accurate? Is that where your story started with this?
Correct. You know, well, my journey started really on a healing path where I wanted to overcome anxiety, which I had. Really, from my earliest memory, I always felt anxiety. I felt this knot in my stomach. It was ongoing. It was constant. I actually thought that's kind of just maybe how a stomach feels, right? But I knew it was uncomfortable. I knew I wasn't happy. And as I got older, I started really questioning and saying, no, this is not normal. Other people aren't feeling this, right? But at that stage, I didn't have religion in my life. I didn't have spirituality in my life. So I thought my anxiety was just over the fact that there was uncertainty in the world and uncertainty in my life, right? And that, I became a material quest, so to speak, right? Because I thought, okay, happiness is rooted in, you know, at that stage, you know, I had financial insecurity. I didn't have a family. I didn't have a girlfriend, right? So I had kind of a bucket list of all the things that I thought would make me happy. And, you know, and that included, of course, financial independence, a home, a wonderful wife, wonderful kids, all the rest. And, of course, I pursued it and I was very successful in all those areas. And then in my early to mid 40s, I did reach the place where I looked at my list and I said, wow, I got all these things. How blessed I am. Except I didn't feel any more happy. And in fact, I call it like the saddest day of my life was the day I reached all my goals, right? Because until that point, it's like, okay, well, maybe I just need more money or more this or more that. But then once I had it, it's like, what do I do now? I don't want to live, you know, my life this way. So I would say that was the very beginning part of my quest to explore other opportunities. And I won't go through a whole long list of all the things I did, but it involved a lot of, you know, meditation and looking at different spiritual practices. And little by little, I started to feel like, especially meditation, just, I don't even know how to describe it. Peace, joy, right? And I realized, and didn't feel the anxiety. And really what I realized is I was just feeling normal. I was kind of like just like what people feel when they don't have anxiety. But it was such a contrast. So in any case, that eventually led me to metaphysics and to spiritual arts, where the deep, you know, the much deeper work began, not only on self-healing, but also as a healer myself.
Well, I did some research just last week on what the psychologists call baseline stress. Baseline stress is unconscious stress that we feel, or a nervousness, just this underlying that something's off. What you explained, that anxiety, right? And they say that over half the population right now in the United States is feeling this baseline stress. And unfortunately, people don't know what to do with it. The doctors don't know how to diagnose it. You know, you can go to therapy for many, many years, and the truth is you may or may not be able to release that baseline stress. I feel in my heart of hearts that, you know, we know it can be mental, emotional, physically, and spiritual. We know that stress can be that. But a large part of people there that can heal this is through a spiritual path like you did. That's my bias. And so, you know, how do we get to health consciousness? Like you found Spiritual Arts Institute. We could talk a little bit about that. But, you know, how do we define health consciousness, I guess? And then how do we get to it, Neil?
Yeah, great question, Ken. And
you know, you mentioned health consciousness, and that's exactly actually how we call it. It's a consciousness. We look at consciousness as it's a vibration, it's a state of mind, but it's even more than that. It's what we embody. So there's consciousness of love, there's consciousness of courage, there's consciousness of peace, right? But there's also a health consciousness. And it starts within. Just to, you know, give you kind of a tagline or whatever, you know, the first book that Barbara Martin and Dimitri Moraitis, the founders of Spiritual Arts Institute, that they wrote, it was a spiritual bestseller, is Change Your Aura, Change Your Life, right? And really, that's the spiritual law. If you change it first in consciousness, in your aura, it will manifest in your life. So we put a lot of focus on how do we change our consciousness of health. And in particular, when we look at health, we look at it as not only our divine right to be healthy, but we don't look at disease in the same way as, let's say, a lot of, you know, medical professionals, right? We look at ourselves as inherently healthy, inherently well-being. Yes, we could have an experience where we might be experiencing some, you know, stress and experiencing disease, right? But that's how we have to look at it. Because if you look at it from that perspective, then you could say anything can be healed, because in consciousness, it is kind of our baseline, so to speak, in terms of where we're at.
I like that, you know, and let's define something too. Let's define, because we're talking about being able to, you know, heal some of these underlying stressors. And it's healed through what we would call, spiritual energy or prana or life force energy, or there's many different words for this, or the light, you know. Is that what we're talking about here when we're talking where your path is?
Right, right. So when we define light, right, or divine, we can say, you know, energy, spiritual energy, called by many names, spiritual energy, divine light. We call that a conduit of consciousness. It brings in the consciousness that we're looking for. So as I said before, you know, if we're looking for love, if that's what, let's say we're not feeling loving, or we're feeling judging, or we're feeling we have to have some forgiveness, right? Then we'll bring in the consciousness of love, and we do that through the divine light. So in our work, divine love, right, is brought in through the deep rose pink ray. So we will bring that in meditation. That's actually what we are channeling when we are doing a healing, if we're giving a healing to somebody. But we're using the deep rose pink ray to bring in the consciousness of love. Similarly, if we're looking for peace, it's purple. If we're looking for balance, it's, you know, emerald green. There's these different rays. So we call that spiritual energy. Yeah, yes, of course, in other traditions, prana has a kind of a different meaning. You do bring in light with the prana. That's kind of, I get a little bit on the side, but it's divine light that brings in the consciousness, including the consciousness of health, right? The sapphire is the most powerful healing ray. So we as students or as healers, right, that's a major ray we're going to bring in. But I also want to point out another one that's probably the most critical, and you kind of brought it up, Ken, when you're talking about how half the world, you know, feels stress. A lot of time, it's just a letting go, releasing some of that stuff out of our aura, out of our, you know, and the aura really is the energetic blueprint of who we are, right? So it's around us, it's within us. So we use a very purifying ray called the orange-red flame of purification. And that's, it releases, it lets go, because we're not supposed to feel stressed. That's not a normal state of being, right? Even though, just as I was explaining about my anxiety, I would actually affirm, I'm a worrier. I would just tell people I'm a worrier as if that's who I am, right? Now, clearly, if I'm not anymore, it never was who I was. So that's the other thing about holding the consciousness, not identifying with that illness and using the divine light to release blocks and then bring in, you know, what we're looking for.
Yeah, deal. Well, you know, and I think you're making a good point here, too. It's, let me just phrase it in another way. We're, so like worrying, for instance, worrying is not a natural state, although some people think that that is natural to them, and they start to identify themselves as a worrier like you did, right? But what we're looking for, and when you let that go, is there was a coherence with source. In other words, there was a place where you reconnected with the soul. I'll use that word, with the soul that's pure, that's in harmony with God, with the universe. So there's a coherence, and when that aligns. What I'm hearing you say is when you are back in and using these rays to align the oneself back to their natural state of being, that's when the healing starts to take place. Is that accurate, or how would you say that?
Yeah, correct. And essentially, we recognize, and you said it in different words, it's all the same, it's all as accurate, but we recognize that the source of help, the source of love, the source of peace is God. You know, call it what you want to call it. You know, we call it God, right? That's where it all comes from. So yes, absolutely. That connection with that, and often, you know, it's somewhat broken, right? But the stronger we connect with that in meditation, in our daily life, in applying, you know, the principles, in receiving healing, we have a stronger connection with the source of help and source of well-being. I mean, yes, to the point that you made, it can restore us back to our natural state, which is pure health, right? Now, even though we might be, again, experiencing a malady, something in our physical body, well, we, you know, we can acknowledge it, right? But we don't want to identify with it, because when we identify it with it, we take that on. It's kind of the opposite of a health consciousness, right? It's really a lack.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I gotta have to take a break here, but you know, what I find is interesting is some of these, like the worry habit. I call it a habit, because once you're in it, you've built a whole world around, you know, this is who I am, this is what I've done, this is how it is. You know, there's a lot of a mindset around this habit that is formed, and habits are difficult to break sometimes. They just are. And I like what you were saying, you know, and we'll talk about more about this in the break. But so to make that shift back into the natural state, into the state of your divine birthright, which is health, right? To make that shift, it takes some work. And I want to talk a little bit about that work when we get back. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Neil Mintz.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hi, this is your host, Ken D. Foster. Before I get back to my very special guest, Neil Mintz, I want to mention this to you. You know, this show grows because you pass it on, our audience passes it on to their family, their friends, and people that they love, so that we can bring truth, courage, and wisdom into the healing mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So it's kind of up to you. You know, I hope today's the day that you say, you know what, I'm gonna subscribe on YouTube to this wonderful show, and I'm also going to pass it on to one person. I appreciate it if you do that. Thank you so much. All right, so for those of you that just joined us, Neil Mintz is on the faculty of Spiritual Arts Institute, which is the metaphysical school for aura healing and spiritual growth. Neil, all right, some of the work we have to do, like I was saying about habits. Habits are difficult to break sometimes, right? Especially if we, you know, I want to say this before we get into your work. If you have symptoms of anxiety, you have something that's not working in your life, you have something that feels off in your life, those are just symptoms of something that's underlying whatever that is. And the work we're talking about here that Neil does, and I want you to, you know the reason I brought him on is for my audience to know about Spiritual Arts Institute and where they can go to find some of the teachings that Neil is talking about today. So that you can also, you know, whatever is bothering you, whatever it is, there is a solution. There's cause and effect. So most of the time, the effects are the symptoms, right? And, you know, what we want to do is get to the cause. That's the whole purpose of this. Neil, getting to that cause and living a healthier, more balanced life, more in harmony, more in coherence? What's the first steps here?
Well, the one thing we honor is that everybody's got their own unique path that, you know, that need to follow, you know, that they're kind of driven to follow, right? So there's many paths for healing. But in particular, when we talk about spiritual healing, and it kind of segues from the last, you know, the last question and discussion is recognizing again the source of health and well-being, you know, which is God. It comes from, you know, from above. And, you know, humans do channel that energy through healing and so forth. But essentially, we all have the ability, and we do it every day, it's to bring in that consciousness of well-being and health or whatever area that we want to heal in. So, you know, you don't need to have, you know, a religious belief or even spiritual belief to do that. You could just change your, you know, your frame of mind in terms of accepting that, just as you said, Ken, right? These are symptoms. These are just temporary situations, and not acknowledging it. But again, recognizing that we can tap into that source of health and well-being. In particular, you know, we are big proponents of meditation. Of course, there's all different forms of meditation, and, you know, all of them are honored. Any true tradition has that at the foundation. And in fact, at Spiritual Arts, it's a prerequisite to go on to any of our programs is to start a, you know, meditation program. We have, you know, a course that does that. And in particular, what that course does is it teaches us how to bring in divine light so that we can shift those aspects of our consciousness. If we are, and I'll just use myself as an example, right? When I met Barbara Martin, who, you know, just passed earlier this year at the age of 95, you know, she was a born clairvoyant. So she can see the aura. She can see the energy, right? And when I first met her, and this was a consultation, I wasn't yet a student, you know, she saw the energy of worry and fear and anxiety in my aura, right? And it wasn't long after that I became a student, and she kept saying, you know, Neil, work with the gold ray, right? So the gold ray is the ray of courage and confidence and self-esteem. And essentially that overcomes fear, right? So I just kept working with it and working with it. And it took, you know, I'll just mention this as well. I had a deep, deep determination because I suffered so long with anxiety. I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it does take work. And that's kind of what you brought up earlier, you know, Ken. A lot of people are looking for a magic pill, you know, and in fact, not just a magic pill, but prescription drugs, right? We have anxiety, we go to the doctor and, you know, we take Prozac or whatever it is. And look, I'm not putting down medication. There's medication that's life-saving. And if it temporarily is able to uplift you and get you out of a hole, I mean, that we, you know, we honor all of that, right? And some people actually have conditions physiological that they need it. But
I will say this, Neil, the magic word was temporarily, right? So if you've been on these medications for years and years, or you got something chronic going on, what we want to do is find the root causes of that illness. And that's where we need to go with that.
Exactly. I don't know if you're just masking it.
You're just masking it. So let's talk, Neil. What are some of the root causes of illness? I think this is an important piece from your point of view.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I would say the root cause is our thinking. How we think, right? So when we're experiencing emotional distress, right? Whether it's anxiety or worry or angers or guilt or shame, any negative emotion, right? Of course, we feel it in our body. So it's very visceral and we say, okay, you know, I got to shift that emotion. But we recognize that emotions start first from our thoughts, our thinking, right? Now, as you said, Ken, you know, a lot of it are habits, right? So a lot of things are in our subconscious mind. They can be our conscious mind or subconscious mind, but the wounds that we carry, you know, regardless of where we got them from, it's in our mind. If we can change our thinking, we can basically, it would definitely directly affect, you know, our feeling nature, our emotions and so forth. So we do a lot of work in redirecting our thoughts. So as an example, right, there's a lot of tools, right? But one we probably often heard of is affirmations, right? Which do you redirect. If we say something like, I am sick, right? We're just affirming it, right? Well, find it, find an affirmation as, no, I am perfect health. I am perfect well-being. So I would say it starts in our mind. And if we can shift how we think about health, how we think about well-being, how we think about ourselves, it will eventually manifest in our life.
100%. So mind is over our emotions, emotions over actions, actions over our results, results over our destiny. It's starting at the level of mind. You know, and there is other causes. I'm just going to read a few because you gave me the insights here, what I love. You know, misalignment with our physical and spiritual laws that cause us to experience disharmony physically, abusing our bodies, our belief that we can't, we don't deserve something, or we can't do something, or this will never change. Those kind of beliefs, like Neil was talking about, the mind, and then of course, fear. So, you know, like, I love what you said around fear. We use the opposite, which is the golden light that brings in the courage, the power, the willpower to overcome these fearful things. So I think there's some pieces there that I wanted to mention, even though they're on your notes, I wanted to mention because they're really powerful. Here's the thing. Some people go, well, you know, I like to be healthy, and, you know, I've tried all this diet and that diet. I've tried this pill and that pill. I've tried going to the gym and not going to the gym. I've tried doing all kinds of things, and I'm still not healthy, and I'm just giving up, right? I think sometimes people don't realize the purpose of being healthy, right? The importance of expressing health in our life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Right. Look, we don't want to identify with our body, but, you know, we look at our body as a vehicle. It's a vehicle of our soul. Our soul is the essence of who we are, and we have to take care of it. This God-given vehicle that we were given, which is our physical body, because we call it expression. That how we're here in physical life, we're expressing it through our body. So we have to honor it. We have to take care of it. And yes, often we are abusing it. We're abusing it with what we consume, whether it's consuming, you know, whether it's nutritionally, or whether it's what we're consuming, you know, through our entertainment, right? Through our bad habits, right? This will all have a direct impact effect on our physical body. So I think it starts with first recognizing that, recognizing and honoring our body, and having the, you know, mentioned will, right? It does take a strong willpower, because if we have habits that we recognize, and by the way, that's the first step, right? Is to recognize it, right? You're way ahead of the average person if you're just aware of, oh my goodness, doing, you know, this habit, you know, indulging in, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, too much sugar, or, you know, not doing any kind of exercise, or consuming this type of media, it brings me down. Awareness is the very, very first step to know that it's affecting you. And again, most of the people aren't even aware of what they're doing that's affecting their health. And then, of course, the next step after awareness, right, is having the determination, having the willpower, having the strength to say, I want to change it. And sometimes people, and this is totally fine, sometimes people have to hit kind of their own rock bottom, right, until they're motivated and say, you know, I need to change it. As I said, for me, my rock bottom is living a life of anxiety where I said, I don't want to live this way anymore. For other people, it could be, you know, at a much lower level, right? So some people have a higher tolerance for pain, so they really have to hit that rock bottom. But shows like this and so much other, the wonderful great thing now is there's so much information out there, right? There's so much understanding of what causes our lack of well-being, that we have not only the information, we also have the tools, you know, and everybody is going to use different tools. So I would just encourage people, you know, to first acknowledge that whatever is causing it can be changed. Every single thing, you know, I like your words, how you said it, Ken, you know, temporary, it's whatever the situation is, and it can all be changed.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a couple other pieces. I'm just going to plus with it. You know, when I work with my clients, Neil, one of the things that I try to get to at the very beginning is the real reason for wanting change, the real reason, you know, what's the purpose behind the purpose behind the purpose? It's that piece so that we start to tune in. I find that a lot of people don't really know who they are at a very deep level. They've heard, well, yeah, I'm a soul, or yeah, I'm a child of God or something, but they haven't realized that in their life. And I think when we start to really tune into the big why, okay, whatever that is for you, okay, I know I have my own why, and Neil has his, but you know, but there is a universal why also. And when we start to understand that, people are able to wake up and be motivated, because now they really have a purpose for that, and purpose drives us to manifest. Because let's face it, you, look at how many years it took for you to overcome that. I've had my own challenges with my own habits that have taken years to overcome. It takes what it takes, but you got to start somewhere. And you know what? I think the best place to start is start acting. That acting as the example of what you want in your life. What do you? I got to take a break, but let's talk about that when I come right back. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, your host. I'm speaking with my guest, Neil Mintz, who is a teacher at the Spiritual Arts Institute. He's also a spiritual healer. And we're talking about some of the ways that we can start to take ourselves down that path, no matter where we are in our life. Let's talk. There's two questions I have. Do we need to be an example of what we want in our life? And the other thing, the question is, do we have to believe like the light rays are working in order for them to work? Two questions, back to you.
Okay, great question. Well, let's start with the second question. No, you don't need to believe that the light works. The light comes to us whether we believe it or not. Now, we could talk a little bit about beliefs, because we could have limiting beliefs. But the light works regardless, right? Our aura, which is our energy field, which is filled with light, doesn't lie. It showing us at this very moment that state of our being. If we're carrying worrying thoughts, it's going to show up. If we bring in a rays to release that, it's going to be released. So regardless.
What if we're a skeptic, though? What if we're a skeptic and we have like, well, it might work, it might not work. I don't know. If that mindset versus the mindset that says, I am totally in, I have faith, I trust this is going to happen, is there any difference of what shows up?
Great question. So when we have skepticism, right, and Barbara, again, who you were earlier, I had mentioned, you know, she was a clairvoyant since the age of three. She passed earlier this year, but saw the aura like nobody else. She actually saw Dorothy.
Let me insert, because you didn't do this earlier. Barbara was the founder of the Spiritual Arts Institute with Dimitri. How do you say Dimitri's last name? Okay, very good. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, they're the co-founders, and all the teachings and the books and the healing techniques, you know, that they brought through. But going back to, you know, if you have doubts and skepticism, right? So Barbara would see almost like a gray cloud above our head when we had thoughts of doubt and skepticism. Now, we recognize that when we're bringing in the light, we're bringing it in from our higher self, what we call our higher self point, which is above us. It's outside of our aura. It's in that place where it's not corrupted by our, what we call our mixed aura. We've got, you know, enlightened energy and less enlightened energy. But essentially what it does is it blocks the flow of light. Now, we would not be alive if we weren't still receiving light, but definitely doubt, you know, kind of blocks it. You know, even, you know, faith. In fact, that was one of the you know, one of the classes I was supporting in this last, you know, we do these quarterly classes. And one of the topics was on faith. And we distinguish the difference between, you know, blind faith and what we call true faith, right? So blind faith is just believing it because somebody told you that, right? Where true faith is coming from, you mentioned motivation. There's a part of you that really believes it, really believes it. Now, sometimes you got to try it. Like one of the things I really honor about this work, and Dimitri, who's now my living teacher, right, always says to the students, especially beginner students, says, look, don't believe me because I'm saying it. Believe me enough that you try it, right? And essentially apply these principles, apply the light in meditation and in your life, and you will see the changes for yourself. So that faith and belief does, it is a process. That's strengthened, but definitely when it strengthens, not only will it open up a stronger flow, but to the point that you made, right? It's going to motivate you, right? Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to pursue it, right? And if you're overcoming, and just we keep using this example that I brought up, anxiety, and you have it your whole life, it's not going to take one meditation or one healing. It's going to take a very persistent, devoted effort. And you're not going to be devoted unless you have that motivation to do so. And definitely those doubts and skepticisms are going to impact it. Because why would I want to put in all that work and energy if I don't believe it's going to, you know, it's going to help and improve things in one's life?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think when we start to shift that mindset and we start to become a skeptic of our skepticism, we start to say, well, what if this would actually work? You know, what if I could really align with health and not illness? What if I could really start speaking consistently, affirmations or words of truth or courage or wisdom about how I'm aligned with health? That health loves me and I love health, and words of that just start to resonate with our own soul and then be able to start to act in those ways. And that's what Neil's talking about. My wife just sent me a little text. I'll just read it to you, Neil, that just came in. It said, live with enthusiasm. Let your eyes sparkle with joy so that those who come near you feel your magnetic personality. Now, that came in from one of my teachers, my guru, Paramahansa Yogananda. But this is what we're talking about when Neil is bringing into this light in back into the soul. The soul is filled with joy. The soul is filled with love, with health, with vitality, with understanding, with wisdom, with power. The soul has, it's right there. But we cover that up with all this, like you said, Neil, that the kind of the rust of these beliefs that seem to tone us down, make us so we're not the light anymore. Now we're just kind of walking automations filled with facts, but not necessarily wisdom. That's been my experience. All right, so somebody is, I think we talked about watching your thoughts. Let's talk about the words we speak too, because that's an important piece for people.
Very powerful. Very powerful. So what we say is there's two ways we speak. We either speak with, these are the metaphysical words we have. It's either spiritual tone that's coming out in a hybrid, let's just call it a vibration, right? Or there's what we call harsh sounds, right? It has a lower vibration. So there's two things we need to look at when we use our words. One is the vibration of what we say. Right, so we could say something that actually sounds very loving, but it's not really a intent behind the words. So we have to really have that loving compassion and harmony and speak through that vibration. It's a vibration, but also the actual words we speak have a lot of power. And that's why we were saying earlier, with affirmations, right? If we affirm, again, I just use the example, I'm a worrier. I can't afford that. I can't do this. We're essentially putting out into the vibrated ethers, right? That energy, those words matter, right? They reflect in the ethers and they come back to us. So it's very important. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, all of that will have an impact and effect and eventually manifest. So we have to be very careful. They're not just these inert things that we can just say. That takes a lot of practice, right? Because
if we're, and again, I'm just looking, using myself as an example, right? With that anxiety, I had a lot of self-doubts. I had a lot of even self-deprecating humor, right? Where I would put, even my friends would notice it. I put myself down, right? And again, I'm saying it, you know, quote, jokingly, right? But I'm telling myself that, right? It's going into my subconscious mind, and it's also going out into the ethers, right? So I'm very careful now where I watch what I say. I want to say, speak words of empowerment. I want to speak words of compassion. I want to speak words all these different, you know, again, higher vibrational, higher consciousness.
I love that a lot. All right. So, and by the way, if somebody wants to get a hold of the Spiritual Arts Institute and Neil Mintz, how would you suggest they do that?
Well, they can go. The website has a lot of information if you're looking at understanding more about what is metaphysics, our programs. If you are interested in learning to meditate, it's spiritualarts.org. Spiritualarts.org. We're a nonprofit, so remember, it's the org, not com, but spiritualarts.org. And you can get all the information there. If you do want to reach me in particular, it's Neil, N-E-I-L, at spiritualarts.org. I love connecting with people for whatever reason. So do feel free to reach out if you'd like.
Okay, that's great. And we're scrolling that across the screen for the viewing audience, listening audience. Again, one more time, spiritualarts.org or Neil at spiritualarts.org. That makes it very, very easy. All right. So, Neil, we're almost out of time here. We got a few more minutes, though. If somebody is they're new on the path and they're sincere, they're done, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, they're sick and tired of feeling anxiety, they're sick and tired of worrying, they're sick and tired of having health issues, and it, you know, this isn't a be all cure all, but this is definitely a step in the right direction. What's their first steps?
Well, I want to go back to the motivation, right? Is it's one thing to say, okay, I like how you said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and, you know, sick and tired. But really look at your life, again, it's back to motivation. Look at why you want to change it. Look at the why, right? And I appreciate you just mentioned it. We didn't really talk about it, Ken. You talked about purpose, right? We all have a purpose in life. We're not just here to live our life and die, right? We all have a way, whether we're a parent and we're meant to bring up our kids, or we're meant in our career to do it, but in some way we're meant to leave the earth a better way. So I'd say the first step is really look at your life and say, am I doing everything that I can? Am I really fulfilling my own personal destiny in terms of what I'm meant to do, and also my spiritual growth, but I'm also, am I serving the world, right? And if you're, again, keep using the anxiety or lack of self-esteem, then you're just firing on part of the cylinders. You need to be all of who you are, right? So I'd say the first step is to really make a list of what you want to achieve in your life in terms of, and get that real excitement and enthusiasm. Because once you have it, it will motivate you. And as I said, I think at the beginning of the program, right, we honor that everybody has a different path. Some people are a religious path, and it's, you know, they want to find God through religion. That's wonderful. That's beautiful, right? Other people are on a spiritual path, like I am, right? And they want to pursue that. But I would say the next step, again, only because I'm speaking from my work, is meditation, any form of meditation, quieting your mind. And even if it's contemplation, right? But any form of meditation will just quiet that noise, right? Because we have lots of influences from our family, from our friends, from media, from, you know, you want to quiet that out so you can really tune into source. So I would say seek out any true form of meditation to really do that, because then you will know the answers, right? I know a lot of people look for answers outside, but, you know, we're really big proponents on the fact that we know it within, but we need to tune in to be able to know that.
That's words well spoken, my friend. Neil, hey, you know, I've just really enjoyed this time with you today. And, you know, I always enjoy my time with you. And, you know, it's the first time I think we've done the show together. And I just want to thank you for being here. And connecting with me and sharing your wisdom with my audience. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, we're a little out of time, so I got to go. Take care, Neil. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to the Heal It Show. This show is for you. It's for you to see different points of views, understand different points of views, understand that we have infinite potential to heal our bodies and our minds and our souls and our spirits. We have infinite potential to do that. As Neil said, tune within so you don't go without. You know, if you're feeling hopeless, go find somebody to help, right? And you'll start feeling more hopeful and start to tune into your own potentiality to heal whatever it is. Nothing needs to stay the same unless you declare it so. So get on the journey and let your friends know about our show. Until next time, thank you so much.